the most famous Rambams that we have, passages of the Rambam, is the message of the shofar. Right? What is the message of the shofar? So the Rambam says that in the Hilchos Teshuvah, he says, "Afal pisha tekir shofar," even though blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a decree of the verse, nonetheless, there's a very powerful message in the blowing of the shofar and the hearing of the shofar. What is the message of hearing the shofar? It is, Uru Yesheinu Mishnasachem, wake up, sleepy ones. Okay, you're good. Let me check on Zoom. Oh, you got your cameras off over there. How do I know you're not sleeping? Okay, so wake up, you sleepy ones. Wake up, you sleepy ones, from your sleep. V'nirdomim hakitzim metardim meseichem, and ones who are slumbering from your slumber, wake up. So basically, the shofar is a wake-up call. The sound of the shofar. If you go to shul on a daily basis during Elul, you know, it's not uncommon because we have a custom blowing the shofar at the end of davening every day as a custom leading up to Rosh Hashanah. It's not uncommon to suddenly get a sudden like a fright because you forget it's coming at the end of davening. You're gonna shake. It's a way to shake you up. It's an alert call to wake up from your sleep. And then the Rambam continues, V'chipshu maseichem, search out your ways, search your behavior. Look at your behavior, v'chazu b'teshuvah and do teshuvah. Analyze your behavior and do teshuvah, v'zichra b'racham and remember your creator. That's number one. Then he goes on, he continues. He says, Eilo shokchem es ha'emes b'hav le'azot v'hazman. For those people who forget about the truth in the vanity of time and are spending their whole lives chasing after vanity and nothingness, things which will not be of any benefit, those people, habitu l'nashaseichem, look at your souls. V'ativa darcheichem, better your ways, malechem, and the causation of your actions. V'yazov kol echod mikem, and each one should forsake his bad way. U'machshavto asher lo tova, and his mindset, which is not healthy, which is not correct, which is a flawed mindset. If you pay attention to what the Rambam is saying, there's actually two categories of people he's referring to. That the shofar is supposed to wake those people up. The first category of people, he says, are people who are sleeping. And he says about them, the shofar wakes them up from their slumber and calls to them, search your ways, look at your actions and do teshuvah and remember Hashem. It's interesting, remember Hashem comes last. Search your actions, do teshuvah and remember Hashem. It's interesting why remember Hashem is the last expression. That's category number one. Then the second category of people is those people who are forgetting truth, who have forgotten truth and the vanity of time and are wasting their life away. They should do the following. They should look at this themselves. They should better their ways, not their actions, their ways. They should better their ma'alechem, which is also their actions or more the causations of their behavior, the types of things which cause their behavior. They should forsake their bad ways and correct their bad thinking, right? What the Rambam seems to be saying is there's a second. The first category of people are essentially people who haven't forgotten the truth, but they're just lazy. They know the truth. They're on track. They know what right and wrong is, but they get lazy and they fall off the track. They get distracted. They're not focused. So therefore, the focus on them is better your actions. Focus on the actions. Get back on track. Get back on track. You know what the truth is. You know what the right thing is. You know what the wrong thing is. Get back on track. Do teshuva. Get back on track. The shofar wakes those people up. Get back on track. I know. I'm so silly. I'm foolish. I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? Why did I do this? You know. I know what the right thing is. I know what the wrong thing is. Get back on track. That's the first group. The second group, those are people who have forgotten the truth, who are disconnected from truth. They're disconnected from truth. They're disconnected. They're really out there. They're disconnected. They are preoccupied with the havli azman, with the vanity of life, the vanities of this physical, material, this worldly experience. They're preoccupied. They've forgotten. They've forgotten the higher reality. And as a result of that, their whole way of life is different. Their whole way of life is their whole modus operandi of their lives is based upon their faulty thinking and their faulty perspective of what life is all about. The second category are people who are not living with the reality of a world to come, of an Olam Haba. Plenty of people who don't live with this reality that we're living for the sake of Olam Haba.
Our whole modus operandi in life is not about, it's all about this world. It's about bettering my life in this world. That's my modus operandi. That's my way of life, my way of life. I've forgotten the truth. And therefore, the shofar wakes those people up as well. The two categories. So we have to, you know, we all fall into these two categories at different junctions. Sometimes we are clearer minded, but then we still stumble in our behavior. Sometimes we're not clear minded. We get lost in this vanity of time. We get lost in the vanity of the here and now, the material of the tangible physical experiences of life. We lose focus on truth. We lose focus on truth. And the shofar is supposed to wake us both up, both categories of people up. But there's one expression over here in this little paragraph of the Rambam. One expression is habitu l'nasha seichem. Habitu l'nasha seichem. For the second category, for the people who have forgotten the truth, it says to them, habitu l'nasha, look at your souls, literally, look at your souls. What does that mean, to look at your soul? What does that mean? An interesting expression. Maybe you could translate it as look into yourself, do a soul searching. Maybe that's what it means. So I have a sefer over here called Yerach L'Mo'adim, written by one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Lakewood, Yeruchim Olshan. He's a very, very popular sefer on the Yom Tovim. So he quotes over here one of the commentaries on Pirkei Avos to essentially answer this question. So one of the commentaries on Pirkei Avos is addressing a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So I'm going to read to you this Mishnah now and pose a question on this Mishnah, and then this other commentary will answer that question. And with the answer to that question, we'll answer the first question of what it means to look at your nefesh, look at your soul. Okay, so that's where we're going. We're going to look at a little paragraph of Pirkei Avos, a question on that paragraph of Pirkei Avos, an answer. And then that answer will then bring us back to what the Rambam says about looking at your soul. Okay, that's where we're going. So in Pirkei Avos, it says, there's a well-known Mishnah, look at three things and you won't come to doing an Aveira. Right, look at three things and you will not come to doing any Aveira. Look where you came from, look to where you're going, and look before whom you're going to give an accounting in the future. That's the wording of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah returns back to the same expressions and then says again, know where you came from a putrid drop. Yeah. Know to where you're going, to the grave, to maggots and to earth. Know before whom you're going to give an accounting. Melech Malchia Melachim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Mishnah says. So basically, it's it's an inspiration. Know where you came from, putrid drop. Know where you're going, the grave. Know before whom you're going to give an accounting, Hashem. The question is, why did the Mishnah preamble it by saying the following? If you pay attention to three things, you won't come to an Aveira. Know where you came from, know where you're going, and know before whom you're going to give an accounting. It says that phrase first without giving an answer. Then it comes back and repeats it again. Know where you came from putrid drop. Know where you're going, to the earth, etc., etc. What's the reason? Why does the author of the Mishnah introduce it by saying, know where you came from, know where you're going, know before whom you're going to give an accounting? It's unnecessary because he repeats it again. The author of the Mishnah repeats it. So the Medrash Shmuel, one of the Talmidim of the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital, explains beautifully that the Mishnah is actually addressing two types of people. There are people living on a neshama level, and there are people living on a guf, physical level. People living on a more physical level, who are more moved by physical, tangible experiences and reactions and experiences. So they, when we're living on more of a physical level, we need to have more of a visceral, like a shake-up, a real shake-up. Know where you came from. You're getting so sucked up and so caught up in all of this nonsense. Do you know where you came from? You came from a putrid drop. That's all. What are you? What am I? Like, I'm just like a nothing. I mean, there's nothing to me. I come from a putrid drop. I'm going back to the earth, which is physical. I'm going to get so wrapped up and so enraptured by this physical world. It's just nothing. I came from that. I'm going back to that. I'm going to have to give accounting before the Almighty. That's speaking to the more like tangible, more here and now physical part of ourselves. Right? That part, that's, you know, it's sobering. But that's what the Mishnah says explicitly. The first phrase of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, know where you came from, know where you're going, and know before whom you're giving a calculation. That's speaking to the neshama. It's more concealed. Know where you came from. Do you know where you came from? Do you have any idea where you come from? Do you know where you came from?
Where are you from? Where am I from?
The body's from the putrid job. That's not me. Where am I from? I'm from the Kisei HaKavod. Your neshama inside of you is from the most elevated, loftiest, serene, sublime places. The neshama, you have a neshama, I have a neshama inside of us. The neshama, this spark of godliness, the chelaka lakami mal, is inside of us, living inside of us. This is real. It's more real than anything else inside about us. We came from the Kisei HaKavod. We come from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The loftiness of the neshama, nowhere. And you're doing this and you're doing that. It's so unbecoming of you. It's so unbecoming of you to do this avera, to do this sin, and to just ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ignore Hashem, and to be caught up and to do things which are so antithetical to the loftiness of your neshama within. How could you do that? How could I do it? It's beneath me. It's beneath me. It's not speaking to the body, it's speaking to the neshama, to understand who you are, what I am. It's so beneath me. I'm much better than this. I'm bigger than this. I'm learning Torah. I'm doing mitzvahs, and I'm here. I'm learning here right now. We realize this. We are connected with the neshama over here by being over here. And now I'm just go out into the street. I go out home and do things which I shouldn't, which are not synergetic with the loftiness of the neshama. How could you do that? How could I do that? It's focusing on the loftiness of the neshama as the deterrent to making him, to doing sins, to doing an avera. And it says, he quotes over here, David HaMelech said, Chelki Hashem amarti, lishmu devarecha. I focused on the fact that I am the portion of Hashem, I'm a chelik of Hashem, I said to myself, in order to guard your words. I'm so lofty, I'm so elevated, how can I do this? And he quotes this piece over here from, we're learning, it's very interesting, we're learning on Sunday morning, Shari Teshuva. I had mentioned along the way that Rabbeinu Yonah wrote other works as well. What we're doing on Sunday morning is Sha'arei Teshuva, Gates of Repentance. There's another work he wrote called Sha'arei Avoda, Gates of Avoda, Gates of Service. Now it's interesting because in Sha'arei Avoda, Gates of Service, listen to how he begins, how he opens up the Sefer. It's a very, very different sentiment and feeling to Sha'arei Teshuva. But listen to this. HaPesach HaRishon, the very, very first step in serving Hashem, in doing mitzvahs, of being a Jew, is Shiyeda Yisha Ovid Erech Atzma, that a person has to know his true value. The first step is to know who you are, to know what you have inside of you, to know your qualities, to know your strength, to know your power inside. I was talking about this with someone this week. If you don't have Torah, if you don't have this whole hashkafa, it's very, very difficult. It's much more difficult to develop a healthy self-esteem. Because in order to develop a healthy self-esteem, you have to focus on all the many, many different accomplishments and the achievements and the qualities you have within yourself. So it's a very, very, it's a process. And if a person was not raised necessarily experiencing a healthy, positive self-esteem, it's an avoda to be able to develop a greater self-esteem. Plug in Torah, plug in truth, plug in Hashem. You have a neshama. A neshama. The neshama, you don't have to look at many, many things. You just look. The neshama I have inside of me is Hashem, is the part of Hashem, is the chelak of Hashem. There's nothing more sublime and lofty than the neshama inside of us. Is there anything more precious and more valuable and more worthy than the neshama? How can I not have a self-esteem? I have this neshama inside. I'm great. I'm fantastic. Not because of my actions. I'm great and fantastic and amazing because the neshama is amazing and fantastic and great. That's how we have to look at ourselves. So it's interesting that Sha'arei Teshuva is not focusing on the neshama. Sha'arei Teshuva is focusing on the actions and the behaviors. And that's why there's a lot of talk inside Sha'arei Teshuva, the Gates of Repentance, of realizing how lowly you are and how bad you are and how that's focusing on the external actions. Because yes, the external actions and behaviors are faulty and are not good. They're bad. They are deviant of Hashem. But this over here is Sha'arei Avoda, is to know the internal intrinsic value of the neshama within. And he said that's the first step of a person serving Hashem, to know one's intrinsic value, v'yakim aloso, and to recognize one's elevation, or milas avosov, and also to recognize the mila, the quality, the elevation of your ancestors, of your grandparents, your great, great ground, your ancestors, ugudulosam and their greatness, v'chashivusam and their importance to Hashem, v'yishtadol v'yishchazek tomid, and to endeavor and to make an effort constantly, lahamid atzmo, to stand oneself b'mayla, he on that level, u'lesanik v'atomid, and to conduct oneself accordingly. B'chol yom v'yom, every day, Yosef Obed put more strength and energy to acquire qualities and attributes, ashi yiskarabem lebar, which will bring you close to Hashem. Person has a desire to do something which is not right, which is inappropriate. Yevish ma'atzmo, he should be ashamed. The yevish ma'vosav should be ashamed in face of his ancestors. The yoshal nashon, he should say to himself, Adam gadol v'chashev kamone ayom, a great person like I am today. This chashev, a person that I am. Sheish b'kama milas, I have all of these milas, these internal qualities of a neshama. Ramas for Nisoya, so elevated and lofty. Vashani ben gadolim, I am a child of great giants of people. Ben malchi kedem, a child of kings of yore. Eichesa ra gadolaz, how could I do this thing? How could I do it? It's an affront to who I am. Vachatosi lelokim, to be an affront to God. Ulavosai kolayomim, and even an affront to my ancestors, my parents, my great-grandparents. It's an affront. Your royalty. The royalty, the chashivas, the value of who we are is itself a deterrent to sin. And he says, this is what the Mishnah means. Know where you came from. How could you do this? Know where you're going. You're going back to that place. We're going back to that kisei hakavod, this lofty place. How could I behave this way? How could I do this? He says, that's the first step of teshuva. The first step of teshuva is knowing the true value of who we really are inside of ourselves. He says, that's what the Rambam means. When it says, habitu l'nafshaseichem, look at your soul, gaze at your soul. Habita, habata, is a word of gazing. Gazing. It doesn't just mean look, take a glance. Gaze, stare at, gaze, ponder, and gaze the neshama, the lofty, 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 lofty neshama within. And as a result of that, habitu l'nafshaseichem, by gazing at the neshama, that will bring you to a bettering of one's ways. And he says, that's Rosh Hashanah. This is the power of Rosh Hashanah. It's an opportunity to gaze at our neshama and to see the power within. It's really in sync with looking at Hashem and seeing who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and seeing the melech of Hashem, the reality, the truth of Hashem. So notwithstanding the fact that, yes, there's a din and there's a mishpat, etc. I wanted to say that at the beginning. We can't forget that. But in order to really be inspired and to really be inspired to make a new beginning for our year is look at us, look within ourselves, look at the power of the neshama, the loftiness of the neshama, and to establish a feeling and a sense, how could I behave this way? It's so unbecoming of the neshama within myself. And he says, that's why also we say Hashem Orev Yishi every day, that capital of Tehillim. Hashem Orev Yishi, Hashem is my light and my salvation. So the Gemara expounds, Hashem Orim, Hashem is my light, refers to Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah. So think about that. Rosh Hashanah is a day of a brilliant, massive, huge flashlight shining the light of clarity upon ourselves. The light of clarity of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the light of clarity of who Hashem is, and the light of clarity of who we are as well inside of ourselves. It's a light, it's a brilliant, bright light of clarity of the gadlus, the chashivas, the greatness of the neshama, and how holy and how precious and how close it is intrinsically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who we are. And as a result of that, I want to make my year in sync, in consort with that elevated sense of self. And I want to behave this way. I want to behave on a higher level, on a hecher level, on a holier level, on a level which resonates with the chashivas, with the loftiness of the neshama within, which is a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the message I wanted to share. So the idea of understand the neshama, understand who you are, know what's inside of you, and use that as the building block and as the source. It reminds me, just popped into my head right now. As you know, I think I tell this story every year, but it's popped into my head right now, that one year when I was in Chaim Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva, as it was, is the way of Chaim Berlin, the Rosh Rav Hutner gave my marim. I mentioned the maimah before, and then my Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal gave my marim, and I just come to the yeshiva, so I was not used to these maimarim. These were like long discourses delivered in the Beis Medrash, and And a lot of people there, people came from far and wide, but he always said them in Yiddish. And I didn't know Yiddish. You know, I came from Liverpool. Who knows Yiddish in Liverpool? So I sat there, listened to it, and I could sense the inspiration, I could sense the power, the delivery, and there was, you know, it went on for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and in my naivety, I went a few days later. I think it was like two days before Rosh Hashanah. I went to the Rosh Shiva, knocked on his door, and I came in, and I said, I was wondering if the Rosh Shiva could share with me some inspiration before Rosh Hashanah. So he looks at me and he says, well, and he's like, if I spend, you know, a couple of hours preparing, he must have spent like hours and hours preparing for this mimer for the whole yeshiva. And now that's what I gave that mind before to give you some inspiration for Rosh Hashanah. But he was very kind, and he asked me, did you hear the mimer? So I said, I did, but I don't understand Yiddish. He said to me, this is what he said. And I still, till this day, I don't know if this was the essence of the mimer or not, that particular year, it's many, many years ago. But he said, take the kernel of goodness within you and build from there.
Wow.
Right, take the kernel of goodness, and that really fits with this. Is what's that kernel of goodness? What is the kernel of goodness? The neshama. Build from the neshama within. Wow. Don't look at the outside. The truth is, Yom Kippur's coming. We'll have time to focus on the negative, on the behaviors we do teshuva, on all of the averas. We clap our chests. We want to cleanse ourselves of the impurities of the averas. That's Yom Kippur. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is focusing on the neshama within. Focusing on who we are, who our Kadosh Baruch Hu is, and build from there. Make that the building. That's the foundation of the whole year, the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year, just like the head of anything, defines the whole thing. These two days, Tuesday and Wednesday, will define the whole year. Mm. And if the beginning is founded upon the gadlus of the neshama, the greatness of the neshama within, as the Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the beginning of all avoda, is know the internal value of who we are. If that's the foundation, then that's going to be the picture and color of the entire year throughout.